A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exalt, exalt with her, all you who were mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you should be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither does circumcision mean anything, nor does uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Peace and mercy be to all who follow this rule and to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make troubles for me. for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned rejoicing and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" Verbum Domini. As a mother comforts her children, so will I comfort you. The prophet Isaiah extends the comfort of God, the comfort of God to his people. In every age, we need the comfort of God, the hopeful assurance that he has not abandoned us, that he still desires to love us and to sustain us, and yes, to save us still, again and again and again, to rescue us from slavery to sin. In the wake of the historic flash floods that have devastated Texas Hill Country along the Guadalupe River in central Texas, we beg the compassion of God upon the people experiencing these devastating effects of the slow-moving storm system that dumped 10 to 15 inches of rain, and with some areas seeing up to 20 inches. And as of yesterday, 850 has been rescued, and 27 people have been confirmed dead. A girls' Christian camp, Camp Mystic, reported more than 23 people missing, including an entire cabin of 8 to 9 year old girls who are feared to have been perished. We continue to pray for their recovery effort and to beg the mercy of God on the souls of all the faithfully departed. May they rest in peace. Amen. It's times like this that bring people together. The world as we know it becomes very small in times like these. The church becomes very small when tragedies happen. And just yesterday, last night, I received two separate texts from friends who knew people that were connected to people who knew these young girls, young families. It's times like this where it's a small world. We are connected. We're so connected with people. And Jesus is even more connected. He knows our pains. He knows our frailty. When we stop and ponder the frailty of the human condition, we are all very close to one another. We're not that far off. The Lord Jesus came to assume our frail human nature, to fully identify in every way but sin, to save and to rescue us from death and peril. The prophet Isaiah extends the comfort and embrace of the Lord God. He says, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exalt with her, all you who are mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord, though I will spread prosperity over her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort, the comfort of God. St. Augustine points to Jerusalem as being fulfilled in Christ's mystical body, the church. The church is the New Jerusalem. The church is the spiritual mother of the faithful. St. Augustine says in a sermon, she, meaning the church, is our mother, Jerusalem. Through her, we have been born again. Let us suck from her breast and grow, for she is full of consolation. Her breasts are the two testaments from which we draw the sweetness of God's word. Augustine emphasizes that the church nourishes us with divine life through the sacraments and through the preaching of the word. The church's teaching comforts us with the presence of Christ, the presence of the risen Christ. God comforts his people like a faithful mother, with closeness, tenderness, and peace. There are some things that only a mother can comfort, especially a newborn child. Just the other day, I was in the hospital, and the daughter-in-law of Michael Warsaw, the CEO and chairman of the board of EWTN, just gave birth to a new baby. And she is 6 weeks premature. Very healthy, thanks be to God. 4 pounds. 4 pounds of loveliness. I held the baby. But there are some things that only a mother can comfort. A child knows its mother's flesh. A child knows its mother's comfort more than anything. A newborn and young children find comfort in leaning up against their mother's chest. This imagery hopefully isn't shocking to you. It's meant to comfort us. The prophet Isaiah conveys that God desires to feed us like a mother feeds her child. No matter what life throws at us, God is here to comfort us, and the church is equipped and commissioned to care for us. Each member of the church has a role to play in comforting God's people. We must not sit back and think somebody else will do it. That's a great temptation. Somebody else will do it. Each one of us has a role to play in comforting God's people. And what is your role? How do you comfort God's people? That might be something to ask the Lord in prayer, to bring to him. How can I comfort God's people? You don't have to be a missionary and go off to a foreign land. Very often it's in your own inner circle, very close. We need to be active participants in bringing God's comfort to people in need. Pope Leo XIV spoke to a group of young Jubilee pilgrims from Denmark, Ireland, England, Wales, and Scotland yesterday and said this. He said, "Remember that God has created each one of you with a purpose and mission for this life." God has created you with a purpose and mission for this life, echoing St. John Henry Newman. You have a purpose in this life. You do. That's unique to you. He said, "Use this opportunity for listening, for prayer, so that you may hear more clearly God's voice calling you deep within your hearts." I would add that today, so often, we lose the ability to listen, to really listen. He says, we listen to music. We have our ears flooded constantly with all kinds of digital input. But sometimes we forget to listen to our hearts. And it's in our hearts that God speaks to us, that God calls us and invites us to know him better and to live in his love. How true this is. We forget to listen deep within our hearts, in the silence, and to shut the noise out. And just sit with him. Perhaps you're afraid of just being silent. He says that, and through that listening, you might be open to allowing God's grace to strengthen your faith in Jesus so that you might be more readily able to share that gift with others, end quote. In the gospel, the Lord Jesus calls the 72 disciples and sends them out ahead of them to every town and place he intended to visit. He sent them out like lambs among wolves. He told them not to carry anything that they would ordinarily take for the journey. No money bag, no sack, no sandals. Imagine being told something similar. Go into the most war-torn area, violent area, and take nothing. No wallet, no cell phone, no GPS, no shoes. And whatever house you enter, say to this household, peace to this household. Peace. Do you wish Christ's peace to a house as you enter it, even to your own house? As you enter your house, peace to this household, Christ's peace. A peace that the world cannot give, but a peace that only Christ can give. Do you remember Pope Leo's words as he came out onto the balcony in St. Peter's, May 8th? I was right there underneath the loggia, so I heard these words in person. But they were in Italian, unfortunately. I had to go back and read them later and truly grasp the meaning of what he was trying to communicate. The very first words of his pontificate, peace be with you all. And it was as if he wanted the peace of Christ to flow from his newly elected position, being a successor of St. Peter, to flow throughout the entire world. Peace be with you all. He said, dear brothers and sisters, they are first words spoken by the risen Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life for God's flock. I would like this greeting of peace to resound in your hearts, in your families, among all peoples, wherever you may be, in every nation and throughout the whole world, peace be with you. It is the peace of the risen Christ, a peace that is unarmed and disarming, humble, persevering, a peace that comes from God, the God who loves us all unconditionally, end quote. You might say that's the peace that a child brings too, as well into this world. Something very calming about holding a child. Just the other day, just holding that child for 5 minutes, something that brings you calm, peace. The priest prays for this kind of peace that only God can give immediately after the Our Father and every Holy Mass. After the Our Father, this is what I pray. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then you say, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. After bestowing peace to his household, the gospel says in St. Luke to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand for you. When is the last time you went into a house and announced the kingdom of God is at hand? Basically, Jesus is Lord. That's the kingdom of God. The presence and the person of Jesus. Especially to a house you've never been in. Imagine the apostles doing this. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your lives. Repent. God wants to save you, in other words. At every Holy Mass, we pray for Christ's peace. And this is what the priest prays the next prayer after the Our Father. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. And in this part of the Mass, the priest is directed to look down at the Eucharist. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Because it's Christ's presence in the Eucharist, present on the altar, that we come to Mass to receive, that bestows this peace. It's not a peace that we can create. We wish. But it's a peace that only he can give. And we receive that peace. These are words directly given to us from the mouth of the Lord Jesus at the Last Supper. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. So at the Last Supper, when he instituted the Holy Eucharist, he bestows this gift upon us. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. The disciples of Jesus do not create this peace of Christ. The peace of Christ is given to the disciple who receives it as a gift. The peace of Christ is received by the soul that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. These are the first recorded words of Jesus after his resurrection. Peace. Peace be with you. When his disciples were behind locked doors out of fear, fear kept them locked away. And it's peace that liberated them. Fear keeps us locked away, even into ourselves. But peace is what unlocks those doors. And you might say that we are given the opportunity to receive that peace. It doesn't come in like a dictator barreling in our doors, crashing down our doors, but you might say that peace is open from the inside, not smashing down from the outside. Christ gives us the ability to open those doors from the inside and to welcome, to extend peace. It was the Lord speaking these words of peace that restored the apostles' shattered hope after his passion and death. St. Augustine speaks of peace as one of the highest goods, as Christ himself is our peace. In him is our peace. This is an often repeated summary of the scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. In him is our peace. In him is our peace. That's something that we can bring to our prayer. In him is our peace. Only in Jesus. In him is our peace. The peace of Christ is our greatest comfort. And you might say it's a possession that cannot be grasped and clung onto, like a possession that we might cling to and want it for ourselves. But Christ's peace is meant to be received again and again and again, to be received by the humble heart, the heart that desires to receive it. Christ sends out his apostles to extend that peace, not simply as a polite greeting, but as the presence of the risen Christ in the soul. We are charged and invited to extend that gift that we have received. And St. Augustine says that Christ's peace heals wounds, heals enemies, makes enemies into friends, and casts out fear. When you carry Christ's peace, you carry him with you. After we've received the Holy Eucharist at Mass even, we carry the peace of that risen Christ out into the world. The very dismissal at Mass, ite missae est, literally translated means, go, you are sent. Go. Go out into the world. You are sent to bring the presence of the one whom you carry with you in the Holy Eucharist into the world. And you, when you receive the Eucharist, the peace of the risen Christ at Holy Mass this morning, take that peace far and wide, especially to the people in your life that need it the most. We pray this Holy Mass for the gift of peace, the gift of peace that only Christ can give. And we ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to be receptive, to receive his peace.